an unbelieving believer. Read about that unbelieving believer. Luke chapter 1, verse 20. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, Gabriel said to Zacharias. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. I believe it was Matthew Henry, a great Bible commentator, who said, "The best of men are only men at best." And we see the truth of those words when we study the lives of the great men and women of Scripture. Men like Abraham, whom James says in James 2, verse 23, was called the friend of God. Yet in the time of famine in Israel, his faith failed him as he went down into Egypt. And while he was there, he almost lost his wife, Sarah. Men like Elijah, who courageously confronted 450 prophets of Baal and then slew them at the brook Kishon. But then his faith failed him when he heard about the threat from Jezebel. And as a result, he went for his life and came to Beersheba. Men like David, of whom God said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart." Yet when David learned that Saul sought his life, his faith failed him. And we are told that he fled and came to Jonathan and said to Jonathan, "There is but a step between me and death." Men like the disciples, whom the Lord Jesus chose to serve him, yet their faith also failed them when they were in the little vessel in the Sea of Galilee and a storm overtook them. These same disciples prayed for their lives. They went and awoke the Savior from his slumbers and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" What did the Lord say? The Lord saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Men like Peter, he said to the Lord, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What a tremendous confession of faith that was. And yet his faith failed him when walking upon the water. He began to sink. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Here we have unbelieving believers. And here is another one that can be added to the list. Zacharias. What was Zacharias? We're told in the verse 6 of Luke 1. He was a righteous man, a righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Yet lack of faith in his God and doubt afflicted him. As a result, he was struck dumb because the angel Gabriel said, "Thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Gabriel said, thou believest not my words. The words that the Lord would bless Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth with a son. Even in their old age, Zacharias did not believe. He did not believe that. He was an unbelieving believer. And we see what happened to Zacharias as a result of his unbelief and his lack of faith in the God of heaven. He was struck dumb. That same problem afflicts us all. A lack of faith, an unbelief in the God of heaven. I want us first of all to notice the response to the message. The message that was given and brought to Zacharias by the angel Gabriel. Gabriel, who stood in the presence of God, was sent on this errand to bring glad tidings to Zacharias and his wife and to tell them, yes, I have heard thy prayer and you're going to have a son. Zacharias did not believe that word. Why did he not believe the message? Why did he have this response to the message? Gabriel said to him, because thou believest not my words. Why? First of all, because of his faults. We can see clearly from Zacharias' response that he had focused upon what he perceived as a great difficulty. For in verse 18, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? He focused upon the difficulty. What was the difficulty as far as Zacharias was concerned? For I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years. That was his focus. He focused upon the difficulty instead of the divine power of heaven. But we should not be too critical of Zacharias, because we often do the very same thing. It was Bishop J.C. Ryle, first Protestant Bishop of Liverpool, who said, it oftentimes happens in that where reason begins, faith ends. Where reason begins, faith ends. That's what Zacharias was doing. Reason had begun here, and he started to reason with himself and say, well, how can this be? I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the reasoning of Zacharias drove out faith. And as trust in God, we often behave in exactly the same way. No sooner have we received a promise from the Lord than we immediately see the difficulty. Genesis 18. Here we read in verse 9. Genesis 18, and in verse 9, the angels have come with news for Abraham and Sarah. And they said unto her, where is Sarah thy wife? And he, Abraham, said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed. within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, in being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. And she was afraid, and he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Sarah did exactly the same thing. She got her eyes on the circumstances. She got her eyes on the difficulty. Exactly what Zechariah did. How can we have children when we're old and well stricken in years? Sarah said the same thing. But then what did the Lord say? Genesis 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? If an angel were to stand before us tonight and look each one of us in the eye and put these words to us, is anything too hard for the Lord? What would we say? What would our answer be? If he asked us individually, is anything too hard for the Lord? How would we answer? May we be able to reply with the words of Gabriel to Mary. Luke 1, verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. But do we really believe that? If only we truly believe that there is no limit to what we could see done by God here. The huge crowd was watching the famous tightrope walker, Blondin, cross Niagara Falls on the tightrope in the year 1860. He had crossed at numerous times, 1,000 feet across, 160 feet down. As he was about to do another crossing on the tightrope, he asked the crowd if they believed that he could take one person across on the tightrope, across Niagara, carrying them on his back. All agreed, yes, Mr. Blondin, yes, you can do that. He then approached one man to come and said, I'll take you across on my shoulders. The man immediately refused. You see, it's one thing to say we believe. The crowd said they believed he could carry someone on his shoulders across Niagara Falls in the tightrope. But when it came to putting it into practice, nobody volunteered. Their trust and faith in Blondin didn't stretch that far. We can say, yes, nothing is too hard for our God. We can say that. But are we prepared to go that bit further and have our trust and faith in God and say, Lord, whatever thou hast promised, I believe with all my heart, thou will do it. Because we're so ready to focus on the difficulties. Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith says, I. So let us ask the Lord to help us to get our eyes off the obstacles and off the difficulties and focus upon the Lord. Regarding his response to the message, we have seen his focus. Next, we have his forgetfulness. Being such a man of God, serving in the priest's office in the temple, he would surely be familiar with Old Testament scriptures. And in those scriptures are the records of what his God did for others in similar situations. We just read those verses in Genesis 18 relating to the Lord's promise about the birth of Isaac. And 25 years later, that's how long Abraham and Sarah had to wait from they first were given the promise in Genesis 18. It's not until Genesis 21 that Isaac is born, when Abraham was 100 years old. 25 years later, the Lord fulfilled his promise. He kept his word. Genesis 21, verses 1 to 5. Had Zacharias forgotten? Had Zacharias forgotten what the Lord did for Abraham and Sarah? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And then he also must have forgotten about what the Lord had done for Elkanah and his wife, Hannah, a woman who had been barren like Elizabeth herself. Yet in 1 Samuel 1, verses 19 and 20, the Lord promised to give her a son, and that promise was fulfilled. Even though Hannah was barren like Elizabeth, had Zacharias forgotten that? Had he forgotten what the Lord had done for Sarah and Abraham? Had he forgotten what the Lord had done for Elkanah and Hannah? And surely if he had remembered, he would have said, well, Lord, since thou didst do that for others, thou can do the same for us. You know, the Lord's disciples were just as forgetful. Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, we read there in verse 5. When his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not remember or understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? See, the Lord rebuked them. And they were worried. If they had taken no bread, they were worried that they wouldn't have anything to eat. And the Lord says, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten how I created bread to feed 5,000 men plus women and children? Have you forgotten how I created bread to feed 4,000. And isn't that the same thing that we do as well? When our faith grows weak, we're weak, we have weak faith because we have forgotten what the Lord has done in the past. That's what the Lord said to the disciples. Have ye forgotten? Have ye forgotten what I am able to do? O ye of little faith. Their forgetfulness had led the Lord to say unto them, O ye of little faith, verse 8. So how our forgetfulness will lead to little faith. That's what happened to Zacharias. So let us not be unbelieving believers. Let us not be forgetful of the past and what the Lord has done. For is anything too hard for the Lord? You have his focus, his forgetfulness. There's also his failure. Upon receiving the message, Zacharias ought to have been delighted, because the angel Gabriel said that he had brought unto them, verse 19, I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Zacharias ought to have been delighted to receive this word. Instead, he was dismissive. He dismissed the message and said unto the angel Gabriel, whereby shall I know this? Those words were equivalent to him saying to the angel, I don't believe you. That's what those words mean. Zacharias said to the angel, I don't believe you. That was Zacharias' response to the word. His failure to believe and to accept the word of the Lord. Yes, the angel had been sent by whom? By the Lord himself. So the word which had come from the Lord, Zacharias said, I don't believe that word. I don't believe God can do this. What a terrible error of judgment. What a terrible failure this was. A failure to believe God. Wherefore, or whereby shall I know this? Well, as far as Zacharias was concerned, the Lord said it. That should have been enough. The Lord said it. He didn't have to say, whereby shall I know this? If Zacharias said, I don't believe, there was one who received a similar message, and his response was, I do believe. Romans chapter 4, Paul there speaks about Abraham. And we read in Romans 4, in verse 3, first of all, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Then verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed? Who against hope believed? In hope that he might become the father of many nations. And this was a man who didn't have a son. Yet he took the Lord at his word, and the Lord promised him a son. And he goes on to say that he believed that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, considered not the fact that he was an old man, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, believing, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Zechariah said, I don't believe. Abraham said, I do believe. Zacharias had his eyes on the focused on the circumstances, the obstacles, the difficulties. Abraham simply had his focus on God because he did not under the fact that he was a never under his head. Abraham believed God. And if God has given you a promise, believe God. Whatever the difficulties may appear to be, you believe God. Remember the conversation between the father who brought a son to the Lord to be healed, recorded for us in Mark chapter 9. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. The father was aware of the fact that unbelief and lack of faith could creep in. All things are possible to him that believeth. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You have the response to the message. Then we have the rebuke of the man. We see in this passage of Scripture how exceedingly sinful is the sin of unbelief in the sight of God. The doubts and questionings of Zacharias brought down upon him a severe rebuke and a very heavy chastisement. Because we read in the verse 20, there in our text, that the angel said unto Zacharias, behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak. Rebuke that was. The doubts and questionings of Zacharias brought down upon him a severe rebuke and a heavy chastisement indeed. Thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak. The rebuke came upon him because of his dismissal. It would appear that upon receiving this word from the angel, that Zacharias did not give it much thought. Because we're told, Once the message was delivered, in verse 8:17, the angel told Zacharias what kind of a son he would have. Zacharias said. So he hadn't given it any thought. Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? Contrast this with the angel's message to Mary and her response in verse 29. And when she saw him, the angel Gabriel, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Cast in her mind. And look at verse 38 of the same chapter regarding Mary. Verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Be it unto me according to thy word. Wouldn't it have been better if Zacharias had said that? Would it have been better if Zacharias had given it some thought, what he had just heard from the angel? If Zacharias had been more accepting of the word he had received regarding a son, he would have done well to have said, be it unto me according to thy word. But instead of that, he says, whereby shall I know this? As we have pointed out, he was really saying, I don't believe you. That resulted in the faith of Zacharias not being able to grasp the promise the Lord had given him. So he just dismissed it. He just dismissed it. He dismissed it because he didn't believe God could work the miracle. Listen to what Paul said. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. That was happening to Zacharias. He was working things out and said, I'm an old man, my wife is an old lady, and there's no way we can have a child at this time of life. In other words, his faith stood in the wisdom of men, not in the power of God. Let our faith, believer, let it stand in the power of God. That what God has promised, he has the power to perform. What he has promised, what he has said he would do, is the power to do it. Is the power to do it. He has the power to do it. Let us not be then unbelieving believers. The rebuke came because Zacharias had hastily dismissed the word. And the rebuke came by way of dumbness. He dismissed the word and he was struck dumb. In fact, it was worse than that. Because you see, Zacharias was not only struck dumb that he couldn't speak, he was deaf as well. You say, how do I know? Well, look at verse 62. And they made signs to his father, that is John's father, it was Zacharias. They made signs to his father how he would have him called. Made signs. If he wasn't deaf, they wouldn't have to do sign language to find out what Zacharias was going to call his new son. And in fact, the word in the original for deaf and dumb is the same word. It is the same word. And so Zacharias was rebuked in this way. And he spent 9 months in silence, not able to speak, not able to hear. The tongue that was not ready to speak the language and with unbelieving praise was silenced. And the ears that were not ready to receive the word of glad tidings from God were stopped. Zacharias was doubtful of the power of God. Had that power proven to him, even there, that power was proven to Zacharias, even as he denied the power of God. The power of God was proven to him when in an instant he was silenced, and in an instant he was made deaf. There's the power of God. Does that not bring home to us how God views the sin of unbelief? If we do not believe God and we reject his word, we see here what the Lord did to Zacharias. The children of Israel doubted the Lord in the wilderness. They doubted the Lord's ability to feed them. And you know what they said? They spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God put food on our tables in the wilderness? That's what they said, Psalm 78, verse 19. And as a result, Paul tells us in Hebrews 3, verse 19, so we see that they could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. That's how the Lord rebuked them. Because of their unbelief, they were not permitted to enter into the land of Canaan, the land of promise. In light of this, aren't we thankful that the Lord doesn't deal with us in the same and a similar way? When we distrust him, when we doubt him, when we are slow to believe him and believe his word, isn't it good that he doesn't deal with us this way? But nevertheless, doubting God is still a sin. So let us then make it our prayer, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. You have his dismissal, you have his dumbness, and then you have his dais. The angel told Zacharias that he would be dumb until the day that these things shall be performed. Verse 20. So because of his unbelief, Zacharias would be deaf and dumb at least 9 months. Until these things shall be performed, the angel said. See, they're going to happen anyway. The Lord was going to bless Elizabeth with a son anyway. Every day of those 9 months, he was reminded of his unbelief and how he must have regretted uttering those words, whereby shall I know this? And over those days of his silence, 9 months, he must have regretted not trusting the Lord, must have regretted not believing God. We look back on our lives. Do we not regret those times too when we didn't believe God? when we doubted the Lord? So let us eliminate those days of regret and just in simple faith trust the Lord that He is able to do whatsoever we ask of Him. Let us be like the blind man unto whom the Lord said, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it unto you." Their eyes were open. "According to your faith be it unto you." That would lead us then to pray, "Lord, increase my faith." Because if I have little faith, then I'm going to see little answers. But if I've got great faith, I'll see great answers. "According to your faith, be it unto you." Now in the last place we have the realizing of the miracle. Contrary to all human reasoning, Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth were blessed with a son in their old age. In verse 36, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible." The miracle was performed, first of all, according to the promise. While Zacharias may have doubted and been an unbelieving believer that time, the angel Gabriel certainly wasn't. For the angel made it clear, whatever Zacharias believed or didn't believe, Gabriel said, "My words which shall be fulfilled in our season." So the angel believed. How much more should Zacharias believe? If angels believe that God is able to keep His promises, how much more should we? Because we have a relationship with the God of heaven that the angels don't have. We are His children. Angels are the Lord's messengers, but we are the Lord's children. We are related to Him. As we read in Psalm 84, verse 11, "The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." He'll not withhold any good thing from us, according to the psalmist. So whatever promise He gives us must be good. And He will not withhold us. He cannot withhold. He must fulfill the promise. As we read in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, "For all the promises of God in Him that is in Christ are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." All the promises of God are yea and amen in Him. So you see, He has to fulfill it because it's in His Word. He has given us His Word, and because of Jesus Christ. All that we have is through Christ. We can say every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All our blessings of His love divine, every promise in the book is mine. The realizing of the miracle, we've seen the promise, and then there is the praise. Zacharias may have regretted not taking the Lord at His word, and so spent 9 months in silence because of his error. But in the meantime, the Lord did keep his word and he did fulfill his promise. And regret was turned into rejoicing. Verse 25, Elizabeth says, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Go down the chapter, verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy unto her, and they rejoiced with her. Verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. That was the praise that came from the lips of Zacharias. And the praise that came from Elizabeth, and the praise that came from her cousins and her neighbors. When God fulfills his promise, there will be great rejoicing. Let us look to that end. Let us not be unbelieving believers. When you feel weakest, dangers surround, subtle temptations, troubles abound, nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad, all is despairing, even time sad, keep on believing Jesus is near. Keep on believing there's nothing to fear. Keep on believing this is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. Let us press on then, never despair. That's what we intend to do here. Press on. Let us press on then, never despair. Live above feeling, victory's there. Jesus can keep us so near to him that nevermore our faith shall grow dim. Keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing there's nothing to fear. Keep on believing this is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. May the Lord bless his word. Let's bow in prayer. O our Father and our God, we thank thee for the word of exhortation, the word of comfort. We pray, Lord, that we'll keep on believing, even when everything seems hopeless. Help us, Lord, to keep on believing. Here. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. Have faith in the night as well as the day. Lord, write this word upon our hearts. May we in days to come recall it again. Meditate upon it. Thy Lord be with us, we pray, as we part and go our separate ways. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.